morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another recording. Today, we are recording episode 107. Today, Friday, May 16th. For those who don't know me, I am located in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and I'm the founder and the brain, I guess, and the talent, the army of one of the Localization Fireside Chat. I do everything from booking the meetings to the recordings, I mean, to editing, to putting the blogs, the contents, and pushing this outside of to the industry to read, consume, listen to, and engage with. And the reason I do this is because I'm passionate about the language industry, like many of us, like my guests today, who are passionate about the language industry, and we want to make a difference. And I did another recording last night as well, and I'm amazed at how many brilliant ideas are coming from the language industry. And today we are going to be talking about another brilliant idea. And I'm honored to have with me Rishi Anand and Holesh, both located in Germany, and Holesh is traveling today. So we are, and I'll give you the mic here in a second to introduce yourself, but we are going to be talking about a company called Automated, or a technology called Automated. And I can't wait for the team here to explain to me and to you, the audience, what Automated is. As you know me, I always like to give a voice for various industry ideas, executives, innovators, to bring those ideas forward, to talk about them, and to give them a little bit of a platform. Hopefully this platform will assist Automated and Rishi and Holesh in spreading the word about their technology positively. And hopefully by the end of this conversation, the audience will reach out to Rishi and Holesh and find out more about Automated and ask the right questions, engage with this conversation in the right way. Sorry for the long intro. Again, Rishi and Holesh, nice to have you on the show, and welcome to another recording. If you don't mind, as we say on this channel, everybody's got a story. Why don't we start with Rishi? And Rishi, if you don't mind, tell us your localization story. How did you get here?
First of all, thanks a lot, Robin, for this opportunity. As I told you also, I'm a big fan of your podcast. I listen to all these episodes. They are really insightful. People like us can learn a lot from your experience. And this chat is really important for the industry also, for the new beginners also. So coming back to my journey, my name is Rishi. I am from India, living in Germany since 13 years now. I came to Germany to do my master's. I have done my master's in German literature from University of Rostock. While studying languages in India and in Germany, I started working as a translator. From German to English and German to Hindi. So that's where I know this industry since 17, 18 years now already. So after finishing my master's in Germany, I started working in Berlin. I started with some really exciting unicorns in Berlin. But I always wanted to start something on my own. And language is something which I'm passionate, that is my core skill. You know, I can communicate. I have learned few languages in my college days. I learned a bit Turkish, Greek. You know, I'm planning to learn Spanish. Of course, I can speak good German. So that's where I wanted to start something, you know, in the language industry. And I started working on my ideas, and I did like different projects, worked on different platforms, created different type of solutions till now. Yeah, after working for like 10 years in the industry, now we are building Automated. We are helping translation companies, small and medium sized company, to automate their whole company, whole business operations. You know, in the translation company, you have hundreds of steps, you know, from client management to file management to project, assigning tasks to the translator, sending purchase order, invoice, you know, all these things takes a lot of time and effort if you are doing it manually. This is what we did, you know, using Excel sheet and Google Doc and Word files, you know, for our management. that's where the idea came. You know, I talked to a lot of industry players, what type of tool they are using. Also did some research and survey, what type of tools are available in the market. And I found the gap, you know, with Holesh. I discussed the idea, what we can do so that we can make it affordable and for all. The solutions which were available in the market, small and medium-sized LSPs cannot afford. If you're asking like monthly 1,000, 1,500 euros from a small LSPs, it's not a affordable solution, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's where we came up with this idea to build automated for everyone, you know. And that's the whole story,
you know? Right?
Yeah, that's where we are right now, talking to you about this product, which we are very excited, you know. And yeah, Holesh can explain more about the product.
Yeah,
he's a chief product officer, so he knows product. You know, he can show you also the product. So I think I'll pass the mic to Holesh.
So Holesh, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in this?
Yeah,
were you guys friends before?
Yeah, we had a mutual friend who introduced to both of us. That's how we got to know each other. During the time of COVID, actually, he was facing these challenges. Everyone was in virtual environment. We used to chat about friends, mutual friends. That's how we started to feel. We had a lot of free time to chat. Then we came up with this he and his industry was facing. That's how and the idea and the vision that he had. First, the problem that he was a genuine problem, which what we believe is, like, I personally believe a solution is a solution if it is not affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Mars, going to Mars could be a solution, but it's still not affordable. So we can say it's a solution for mainstream masses. Yeah. So similar technology solutions many people couldn't afford that. Many small companies that's how I got sucked into this.
So Holesh, don't mind me asking, but are you like an investor? Are you a technology brain? Like, are you a developer? What's your vertical of expertise, I would say?
Yeah, technology and product. That's my vertical of expertise. Just to give you a little bit of background, before jumping into this, actually, I didn't have a software consulting business, so which is why software is already. I will get from my stage to the conclusion.
That's how you got involved in this, right?
That's correct.
I do agree with you. Like, you know, we talk a lot about brilliant types of software that does many things, and not necessarily just in the localization industry. Every company has those nowadays, in any industry, really, or targeting any industry. Everybody's trying to solve a business problem. But you seem to be coming at it for automated around solving a financial problem, it sounds like. And of course, we can't forget the features and functionalities that needs to come with that. You know, you don't solve the financial problem unless you have some features for that to solve that, right? And, you know, I totally agree with you. I mean, there is, like, I don't know, they say in this company, in this industry here, they say, at least according to CSA research, close to 19,000 companies. I'm not sure if the number is still the same, but that's 2024 data, I think it was, or 2023 data. But we're not far off. Even if it was like 18,500, you still have a lot of companies in this industry. And obviously, you know, like any industry in the professional services or in the service industry, you have the formula that you live by in this industry. This industry live and die by the 80-20 rules. I'm not sure if you guys have heard that, meaning that the top 80% of the revenue of this industry comes from the top 20 companies. And you've got, like, you know, maybe 18,000 different companies. They probably don't rank in the you know, the 100 million kind of companies. They're in the small to medium size. And I agree with Rishi, some of those companies are just one person, not necessarily more than that. And they still obligated to run a service company. And you're right, Rishi, if somebody comes into them, say, hey, here's a software solution, it's solid, but you got to give me $5,000 per month. I don't know if they have $5,000. And you, this is very timely because the industry is going through transformation, economical transformation, right? Prices are down, volume is down, going to AI and a bunch of other things. So the revenues for those small to medium businesses are shrinking. So an economical solution is very timely right now. Okay, so let's dive right into it right now. So tell me a little bit about Automated. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I mean, quick intro. So as I told you, we were facing problem. We were using a lot of different type of tools for invoicing, different tool for chat, for communication, different kind of tool for project management, different type of tool for client, for CRM, multiple tools. So things were in, 10 different platforms, and it was not helping us to grow, as a business. And because we never had that insights also, how my business is happening, what is my profit margin, for example, for each project, whether the invoice is paid or not, everything has to be done manually, at that time. And that's where we came up with this idea to build this software. I will not call it a software. It's a platform. Holesh will agree with me, where you can do everything. Once you logged in into this product or platform, you don't have to come out of it. So everything you can do in the platform, and I mean, like as you said, like if we have one man team, if two people are managing a small LSP, for example, so this product will work as a third partner. It will work as act like an employee who will do all your job. We'll automate a lot of things. So for example, just a small thing, if you assign a task to a translator, you don't need to send a purchase order. It will go directly, automatically with the task. So one step we reduced, for example, if you are sending 10 purchase order in a month, a translator can select all these 10, create an invoice and send it to you so that you can pay it, They can also track, you can also track, everything will be on time, there will be no delays. Even the project, you can manage how many project you delivered on time, before time, what is the profit margin, why margin are less, for example, for particular projects. All these insights will help you, help your business to grow. And that's where we were lacking. And that's where we came up with this idea to build this software.
Absolutely. So
And
for the audience, what Rishi is talking about, it's a project management platform. Sorry, I use the word software. It's not a software, it's a platform. I get the difference now, Halesh. Don't hate me. I'm learning. I'm learning with this conversation as much as you do.
I'm also learning that it's a platform,
Yeah.
Halesh, anything to add to that? Can you give us the main characteristics? How is it hosted? Where is it running? Azure? Is it running in the cloud? Does it run on a platform per se that you have to deploy locally? How does that work?
Yeah, so we do have two versions. At the moment, we do have a cloud native version where it's like a SaaS. You just subscribe to it, or it's got the perpetual license version. So self-hosted version, you do it. The staff version where you just pay some monthly and you can subscribe to it. That's hosted in the US. It's region specific. If you're in Australia, you can choose your region. Stay in Australia territory and similarly for Europe, US.
So you have local servers? Is that what you have?
And that's, yeah, AWS simplifies that.
And you said, subscription per month. And since we started this conversation about making this solution affordable for those who cannot afford, glorified solutions, what are we talking about? How much is it per month?
So we are charging like 19 euros. It is Android. So if somebody subscribes to this 19 euros, they do not have to involve themselves into daily firefighting or how to manage different stuff. It just takes care of the burden of how to manage things that's already taken care of.
There is this thought out there, and I don't know, maybe you can help the audience understand it a little bit better, but some of my audience tells me if it's cheap, not necessarily better, not necessarily as good, But that, you know, today this paradigm or this thinking, this philosophy, I don't know how much true it is, to be honest with you, because we're able right now to develop technologies, not necessarily at a high cost, but we can make it affordable to customers using the latest technologies that they're out there. It's not that hard to put together if somebody wants to put it together in a economical fashion. How do you address that point? How do you address the point? Yeah, it's economical, but it's still solid. It is still delivering what it's supposed to deliver. It is still, a robust feature filled, you know, it's got a lot of features in it. How do you address that?
First, we need to understand why the software is being or the platform, other products that are available in the market are costly. If we look at our competitors, so why they are costly is this was such a small industry. There are only a few players who are playing in this sector. Since the supply was less and the demand was more, they were charging differently high. This is a pure supply. This is such a small sector. Bigger companies are not wanting to get jump into it. This is why we found the gap. Okay. And with the thing, how technology has advanced so much that we can build solutions at a very lesser cost, which is where we have been very cost efficient while developing this. And the way we have made our platforms very performant, our servers also are very optimized so that they cost us very less, stay to their operations. So which is fine. That's how we get the cost very
less.
In terms of quality,
Yeah, I was going to ask you one question. Like some of the techies out there listening to this podcast, they'd probably be asking, like, do you have any certifications, SOC 2 and any of those stuff in place, ISO? Has the solution been certified?
Right now, no, but that's in the pipeline. Some of the things are
Things in the pipeline.
That's
it. And from a data security perspective, a lot of your customers, perhaps, I don't know, but a lot of your customers, be it an LSP, they're probably dealing with a variety of customers on their side, right? So they're probably dealing with government, they're probably dealing with, intellectual properties that they're really restrictive for your eyes only kind of thing. And also they're probably dealing with legal stuff. I mean, contracts and some pharmaceutical, I guess there's a lot of secret stuff, working in various companies. They probably have a lot of secretive documents that probably want to be treated in a highly secure environment. Do you distinguish between, the let's say for the sake of argument, classified versus non-classified documents? Do you give them different environments? How does that work?
Yeah, that's why we have the self-hosted solutions, so that they can self-host this on their server where they feel much more secure. Certain things can be customized.
So you mean like they can host it on their server and your platform will ride on top of it, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we would be managing that server, whichever server. It's a self-hosted solution. So let's say if you prefer, we want to host it on your own AWS. We want to keep all the securities myself. But of course, we can help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
We give that with the orchestrator source code to you so that all the network and everything is controlled within that. So.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, Rishi, did you mention something about the financial aspect of it, like the payments, the invoicing, customer and freelancers? How do you, is there a technology you're using, like using Stripe or something? What are you using inside of it?
So we plan to integrate different type of platforms. For example, PayPal, you can integrate. You can also integrate your banks. It's in the pipeline right now. What I said that, even after the payment, where you will mark it as paid, for example, on which date it was paid, even if the currency is different. For example, if I'm transferring $100, for example, to the translator, but the invoice is of 80 euros, for example, where we can see, where the translator can see, how much amount we paid as LSP or how much client has paid. For example, if I have a client in China and if they are paying in a different currency, how much money I receive. So the invoice amount and the receiving amount will differ, right?
Correct.
And that's where we will do all this tracking.
Mm-hmm.
that's real scenarios. It's not, you know, like stories. So that's where we have a transaction feature in our tool where you can track and add all the transactions, what mm-hmm. is happening in your mm-hmm. platform.
And also, like, since I'm dealing with this morning with two brilliant minds with me that's behind this automated project management platform, where do you stand on Bitcoin? I hear a lot of people talking about the future of payments because of the universality of it. You know, instead of going through the FX, meaning the foreign exchange, and converting currencies, etc. So where do you guys sit on Bitcoin?
So Bitcoin can, as long as the volatility is very, can be controlled, maybe at that point, the adoption in this industry would increase. Because if you look at this industry, who are we paying? If you look at this, there are probably 600,000 freelancers of them working from different parts of the world. They are not happy with the volatility. They earn a very little money. At the organization level, we might be comfortable. Okay, we are giving it. Bitcoin is a commission. We can get certain things. That's okay. But on the receiving end, just people who are generating a few $100 or a few $1,000, for them, this volatility is a lot. So which is why, even actually, we have surveyed this and we have figured out that this is going to be to adopt on the vendor side. However, if as maybe organizations or LSPs, if they are receiving a bigger amount of money and they can hedge the volatility somehow, and they have the capability to do that, then perhaps this is a good thing. In general, this localization and translation industry, I personally feel this is going to be the future. As the adoption increases and actually decreases in the value of this, then I think it's actually the future.
I mean, look, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, for the audience, you know, listening to this conversation right now, and I can imagine in my mind, like, there are like many of these small, medium sized companies that they're running things by spreadsheets and, you know, sticky notes, paper, you know, invoice paid, invoice stamped. You know, how much are you wasting right now as an entrepreneur, you know, managing your business versus, you know, if you use an automated solution platform like what Rishi and Halesh are talking about, you know, the thing to think about is, could you save time, and time is more than money nowadays, to use that time in other tasks that are probably more beneficial for your business? So you're taking away your platform, my understanding from our conversation today, you're taking away all the mundane tasks that, you know, people are either obligated to do, don't want to do, and they feel like, oh my God, struggling to do, and you're automating it for them to make their life easier. So it's a great solution. I don't know how many people in the industry know about you, but I mean, I was just thinking in my mind when you were talking about 600,000 freelancers, I interviewed on this channel Henry Dotter, and Henry is the founder of ProZ.com, and I had a great conversation with him. That's a conversation that took place, I think, last year. I had Henry on the podcast. Great guy. You know, if you guys need an introduction, I'm happy to introduce you to him. The platform is great, ProZ.com, where you have all the freelancers in the world that are on it. Millions and millions of freelancers on the platform. They're all managing their own businesses. I mean, as a freelancer, you become your own entrepreneur. You have a small company called you. You are the business. And in this case, you know, charging, like, I love the model of 19 euros a month. Like, you know, that's what you pay for subscription to anything, Netflix. It's probably cheaper than Netflix now. Netflix keep raising their prices. Hello, Netflix, if you're hearing me, stop raising your prices. what else can you tell me about Automated?
I think we can show you what is automated. Then
I would love to see a demo. Can you run through a demo with me? Okay.
Yes, I can do that.
There's a share button down below in this platform. You can share it. And while you're preparing your screen, Rishi, what's the one more question for you before we start the demo? While we're getting the demo started here, where does AI? I mean, I'm going to ask you the question of AI. Everybody gets the question of AI on this channel. It's becoming more of a sort of like the stamp of any conversation, right? AI. So, what are you doing with AI? It feels so silly to ask the question, to be honest, but I'll ask it.
There can be different aspect to it. How you see it.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
but I think we should not overdo it. In translation industry, you know the limitations and challenges, right? There are so many languages, so many dialects. AI will not give you like 100%. I'm just talking about the translation. AI is really good. I'm not saying anything bad about it. You know, I'm just sticking to the translation quality, which is coming right now, you know, from ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatever different tool you can use. Still, it's not there, you know, it will take some more time, it will take some more learning for the AI, you know, to give that quality. Also, like these cultural nuances, for example, cultural relevance, regional aspect, religious aspect, you know, it's very difficult, you know, you need some time, emotion. If I write you an email and if I explain that email in words, it can, if like, it will have better, you know, effect on you maybe, because then I put more emotion in it. When I see these AI translations, sometimes they miss context for sure, you know. Also, emotion is also missing from those translations. And that's why I always say it's not bad to have AI translation. I think it will take some more time until it will be, you know, very useful. Like DeepL has done it, you know. If you see English to German translation in DeepL, they deliver like a really great translation, you know. So, but it took like a lot of years, a lot of effort for them to reach where they are right now. So,
Training, there's glossary, there's a bunch of things, right? You know, exactly. And when it comes to AI, I'm always flabbergasted, meaning surprised, shocked, by people who uses, let's say, you know, like the free version of ChatGPT, and they take one content from one piece, you know, whatever that is, email, etc., and they throw it in ChatGPT and they say translate. Well, yeah, I mean, that's garbage in, garbage out. I mean, then they come back and they say, oh, I didn't like the translation. Well, you didn't say anything. I mean, you just said translate. I put in the chat here for you to, if you haven't had a chance to look at it, check out this podcast I did with Dr. Sidney Shapiro. He teaches AI. Postdoctoral AI in those are for the students who are doing the PhD in artificial intelligence in the University of Lethbridge in Alberta. And Sydney is a great guy. I had a pleasure speaking with him. He explains it very succinctly and very well. Check it out. It's in the chat box. Now, Halesh, are you ready to run with your podcast, with your demo? Or
I just wanted to add one more thing, you know.
Sure, go ahead.
In relation to this AI. So that is one aspect where LSP struggles with the quality of AI. The other aspect is client. And that's where, as a LSP, we are dependent on, you know. Client thinks like, okay, everything AI can do. And the cost is really less right now, you know, per word. They think like AI can do everything. You know, the buying behavior has changed big time in last few years. The way clients are buying translation, you know, they are more into MTP right now, where they have Microsoft translation or Amazon translation, and they want to, you know, put one human layer. But again, the tone is missing, for example, sometimes.
Oh,
the,
correct. You know what, Rishi, I got to tell you something. I've been talking about AI now for the past 2 or 3 years on this channel. I got to tell you, I'm able to like draw a distinction between an individual that knows one language only, born with one language, only speak one language, and the individual that speak multiple languages. So the individual that speaks one language can view AI in a certain way, and the individual that speaks multi languages, they view it in a different way, similar to what you're saying right now, right? Like I speak Arabic, for instance, and I tried AI in Arabic, yeah, you can understand it, but you're not really capturing the essence of the language, right? So you're not really that cultural nuances that, you know, the this is in a respectful way you say things, or if you say things in a certain way, it become out disrespectful. You know, abiding with the historical facts about the language itself, it's very, very hard to capture, right? So it's not easy. Now, but if somebody doesn't understand Arabic and you ask them, okay, translate an email into Arabic, they're going to look at the letters. They're going to say, well, it goes from the left to the right versus right to left. And I say, oh, yeah, it's Arabic. But that's all they know, right? It's similar with me. If somebody says to me, well, translate this email to Korean, I don't know Korean, I'm going to get the same reaction. It is in Korean. But if I show it to my friend in Korea, they're going to say, Robin, this is bad Korean, man. Where did you translate that?
Then at the end, again, we are depending on human only. Like even if the machine translation is there or AI translation is there, proofreader is proofreading it, for example, or a reviewer is reviewing it. After review, a human is saying, okay, this AI translation is good or bad, right?
That's so
then
right.
You have to believe, because I will not know like 200 languages. I can know maybe 1, 2, 3, or 4 max.
That's right. That's right.
At the end, we are depending on human. And that's where I think AI is here to stay. We should accept that. A lot of content will be translated for which you don't want to spend money, you know. And that's really good for the society also. It's not just for the business. There are many
and the other part that of AI will never be able to address is languages is a live, active things. So it is always evolving. Like, you know, I deal with terminologists all the time. And terminologists' job is to create new terms in a new language, meaning that the language is evolving. We have new words coming online. We have new way of saying things.
That's
and
true.
Where is this being detected? It's being detected at the human level. The human is detecting a brand new term, a brand new word, and you're saying this is this in the source word. Now I've got to put it in the target language. And when you go to that extent of evolving the language, the evolution of the language that is happening on a day-to-day basis, colloquialism, regionalism, the way we say things in a certain jurisdiction. Like I come from a small country, Lebanon, right? And the south part of Lebanon speaks a completely like different accent, different way of saying things from the north of Lebanon. And we're talking about 300 kilometer length of a friggin' country, right? So I'm not saying this in a large region like Canada, for instance, or United States or India, or where you speak multiple languages in the same country. Like, how do you compute all that? And somebody told me one time before, I said, like, you know, languages is not a mathematical formula. It's a human thing.
Exactly.
You can put computing against it, quantum computing against it, and eventually try to mimic human behavior or human thinking. But that's going to take a while. So far, we're doing it the mathematical way.
And maybe for 200 years, I'm speaking like my family or my forefathers are speaking the same Hindi. But maybe Holesh and Holesh forefather is speaking different Hindi, for example, right?
Correct.
So how AI will catch that, what type of Hindi or Indian language Holesh is speaking than Rishi? You know,
he's right.
AI doesn't know my grandfather, for example.
That's right. No, then AI can be helpful, though. Because there are some languages, sorry, we're having a debate about AI here, but that's fine. We're having a conversation over coffee. Remember that. So AI can really be helpful for those languages that they're on the edge of extinction, to become extinct, meaning that they're going to go away because there's not many people speaking it. There's not many people going to be inheriting the language to their successors, that kind of thing. So you can capture that and put it in AI, hopefully for the future generations, that they can learn from it. I'm assuming there are some cluster of populations around the world. They speak a very distinct language, and that language perhaps is at risk of disappearing. And if that language is at risk of disappearing, we may be able to use or utilize technology to allow us to capture the language for future generations. Sorry, Holesh, we stole your thunder here, man. Is it your show now? Is that you who's going to show us how this automated works?
Yeah.
So the floor is yours, my friend. Click that share button and off you go.
Sure.
I love doing this podcast, man. I enjoy it so much. It's the best part of my day. There you go.
Nice.
Yes, sir. I can see your screen.
All right. So this is so we have automated for three kinds of users. One is for the client. The second one is for the LSP, and the third one is for the vendor. But the primary keyword here is the LSP. So I already have an account as an LSP. Just simply log in. Give you some context. If there is a small team, then so they actually deal with sales, everything they do, they try and do everything all by themselves. And they have to manage the vendors, they have to manage their projects, they have to manage their finance. So they do a whole suite of things. So we have combined all of the things into this one platform. And also, my clients as LSP, for me as an LSP, whosoever I onboard as client, I can give them client portal access. And the vendors I can also onboard them the vendors portal access. They will have the exclusive portals to see and projects and tasks. Get started with this is the CRM section. So we keep the records of contacts or the businesses that we are or the contact person with whom we are currently working with. Let's say we are working with these many people and we can delete, we can do whatever we want. We can actually a new client over here.
Is this where you keep also your freelance contacts?
Freelance can go into this vendors.
So the vendor section, okay.
That's good. So they will go into this vendor section. So I can invite as many vendors.
And do you score your vendors after the after you check the quality? For instance, do you give them like star rating or something?
Not yet. Yeah, we can do.
Okay. And also, like I saw, like you have memory right there, right? So translation memory. That's correct. So I'm assuming when you want to, let's say, put a project out to your vendor, I'm assuming you take the project, you run it against the memory, and then you send it to the vendor? Is that how it works?
That's good. That's good.
Can you explain that a little bit further? I think that would be interesting too.
Sure. So every project that comes in, we just upload them as a project. I can come back and do all these things.
Yeah, okay.
Upload a sample document. Yep, this is the one sample document. I can actually link it to companies with whom I'm working, which are Deutsche Telekom, let's say. Let's say I'm working with Rikianen for this project I'm working on. If I click the share with data, my client can see this project. Show you. If I'm just adding another Kolesh over here, so that I already have Kolesh as a client, and submitting. Let's go here. I open the document. You have has parsed all the text from the document directly. We can run the, there is a button here, run DM. We can run DM. We can actually search the DM that we have, or simply, if you do not know what to run against, simply click on the button. It will show me the results. Okay, this was 100% match that we have saved. This is 100%.
That's what you're showing us, Holesh, right now. That's on the vendor side, right? You pretended
this was on the LSP side.
Yeah. On the LSP side, yeah, that's right. And that's how it shows up on their side, right? So they can produce log file out of it. They can take it to an invoice, etc.?
Yeah, okay. So let me match this. As a LSP project manager, just let's say I found this in station for your match. Mm-hmm. Just apply the project, match. Then you can see the progress here also applied 40-50%. So matched. Then let's say you want to give this, assign this to somebody. You just see the view untranslated segments, click on them, do the task. That's it. So in 5 seconds,
so what happened to the matched segments? Do you block them? Do you keep showing them?
We
to
block them.
Oh, you do. You block them. Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened in the case where you want to review the contacts, though?
Yeah, we have this show all segments while assigning the task itself. Then they can review the context. Yeah.
Okay.
And alongside with, they can attach the file and send it to this.
Okay. And so now you sent it to the vendor, right? So to the freelancer, I'm assuming, in this case.
That's correct.
Okay, are you going to run us through when you receive it back from the vendor?
Sure. So let's say, what is the price I'm paying to the vendor? So just let's say, just submit. Now this task got created. Whatever got created, I can see the task here.
Okay.
So everything that I create for a vendor is a task here. So either I can assign to a vendor or invite multiple vendors that I have in my system. So let's say I already know whom to assign because I just have one in this demo account. I do have a choice whether to assign based on my price or the vendor might be having a rate card that we have already agreed upon, we can assign that to. So I choose anyone. This is not necessary. So the data confirmation, then button assign. Now, as a vendor, I've already logged in here by the way. So check off these. If I were invited from here, I have seen that in my opportunities, same like with this thing, decline, let's say.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, if I were invited. Since this is directly assigned, I can see, oh, this is one more interesting thing. Accept the terms and conditions. If you keep updating the terms and conditions, you can actually...
Oh, you may have terms and conditions associated with each task if you want to.
No, it's overall for the.
Oh, so it's overall?
That's fair, overall.
Okay.
So we can edit them here, edit it, and edit our terms and conditions. They are separate before actually working on the editor.
Okay.
So I'll go there, I confirm, yes, accepted. And then I'm able to see all the tasks. Then this is the task that was assigned to me. Either after working on, I get to see the details here in this editor. And because I click show all segments, I'm able to see all segments. So simply click on this. This translates them. And in real time, I can see as a project manager. After the task is complete, simply edited this, simply this as submitted. Okay. This moves to the submitted step. And, as a project manager in this screen, I can see the submitted.
You can see the progress.
That's it.
Yeah.
The project manager, I saw that the submitted.
You have the possibility, Holesh, to assign more than one task to the vendor. Let's say you want to do desktop publishing for your document. Do you do that or no?
Sorry, please come again.
If you want to assign multiple tasks to your vendor, so that I want them to translate, but at the same time, I want them to do formatting, desktop publishing for the document. Do they do that or do you give that back to the project manager so they can deal with it?
we can actually create multiple tasks for the same project. So
okay.
Yeah. So we get the finished file over here, so we can here with the project and we can create let's say here. Mm-hmm. As a project manager, I just have to close the responsibility over here. Let's close this.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get this completed file. I can create this complete use this completed file by assign one.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how it works. So yeah, this is about the projects and tasks. I can show you the session memory we are using. It is very interesting. If you have any conversation that's going on with your, let's say this was one ticket and button, all the emails can learn the tickets. And you can classify them with sales support. If you want more than one team member, you can assign to them. And who say you're participating, they can automatically go to the scale.
Okay.
So,
This feature is really helpful for a small LSPs where they get a lot of requests from the website. So how they will manage the leads, you know, so they mm-hmm. can manage it here. So yep. that they know 10 leads I got in a month, 5 I got converted, 5 I lost, why I lost, they can analyze everything.
I do like the interface. It's clean. It's well organized. It shows the information and the navigation between the various option is very it's very easy, it sounds like, and the response time is pretty high too. Like, you know, you don't have to wait. It's like the screen refresh is pretty good. For the audience, if you don't mind, if you're seeing this demo, would you mind give us your feedback? What do you think of this demo? What do you think of this tool? What do you think of this platform? What do you like to see, if anything that we've showed you here, that the team have showed you today? Does that hit home? Does that like trigger something with you? Do you feel like this is what the industry need, or in your specific case, as an audience watching this, do you feel like you need something different? I'll leave it up to the audience how they want to interact with you, Rishi and Holesh, on this. And thanks, Holesh, for showing us. This is pretty good. Thank you.
Oh, welcome, Robin.
And also, like from the audience, like if they want to get a free demo also, they can contact us in automated.com. They can book the demo. We are giving it for free. Mm-hmm. So, and unbinding, so no strings attached, you know.
I know.
just to explore more, you know.
Yeah, I was on your website today. It says, you know, book a demo. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they can book a demo. We will be more than happy to show them, get their feedbacks also. Maybe they have some suggestions. We can help them also, you know, with our product.
Absolutely.
The problem they are facing, the challenges they are facing. Absolutely. In their LSP. So, yeah.
And I'm cognizant of the time here, so I don't want to take too much of your time. We're wrapping up here in a few minutes. As we wrap this conversation down, I'm very excited. Like, I got to see your demo. I got to talk to you, gentlemen. Thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Great conversation. We had fun. I had fun. I hope you did. Hopefully, I didn't stress you out. Hopefully it was relaxed environment for you. Hopefully you've had a conversation at your leisure. I wasn't pressuring you. Any last, thoughts, ideas that you'd like the audience to remember of this conversation? We'll start with you, Rishi.
First of all, follow Robin, for sure. If you want to get some latest insights, especially about AI, what is happening in the industry, you know, he's the go-to person. We also had fun, for sure. It's always good to listen to you and talk to you.
Same here.
For the audience,
appreciate it.
We all are facing different challenges in our businesses. Let's see where we can help you and support you so that you can grow your business. You know, and that's the motto we have in our company. You know, to support people so that they can excel. You know, they can take their business to the next level, and that's where our technology will support them.
Absolutely, Holesh. Anything on your side?
So for you, Robin, you have been generously introducing us. You have been too generous. The time. So, like you mentioned, more thankful to you that you have given us this opportunity. And it was genuinely a very relaxing conversation. This being the first podcast, it was actually a really relaxing conversation.
And this is very nice to hear, like, Holesh, for the audience. I mean, Holesh is his first podcast. He never done podcasts before. And look at the comments he's telling us. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Even the introduction was very nice. Actually, I thought I'd be a little bit nervous. It was not. Yeah, thankful to you for that, Robin. It goes to you. Yeah.
No problem. Anytime. And I want to thank you again, Rishi and Holesh, for joining me today. I really appreciate the conversation. Appreciate the time you spent with me and the introduction that you brought to the audience about your the automated platform for project management for small businesses. And for the audience, you know, if you need to connect with Rishi and Holesh, I will leave their LinkedIn profiles in the content that we're going to be producing and sharing with everybody. Hopefully, this conversation that we've had today with the team here, Rishi and Holesh, sparks ideas for the audience, sparks opportunity for automated. I always love to give this platform opportunity for brilliant minds such as Rishi and Holesh to bring new ideas, to bring new. And I heard Holesh mentioning it's a small industry. It is a small industry, Holesh. I completely agree with you. But this small industry is mighty, I would say, from the number of ideas that this industry is generating. You know, a few years back, 20 years back, we only had one software. It was called Trados at the time. And now we have a flurry of software ideas, features, and they're all solving business problems. We obviously, this industry had many business problems, and business problems create solutions. And that's what you guys are doing. I appreciate you sharing all this with me and the audience. And for the audience, go ahead, Rishi. You still have something to
say? No, all good. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Your floor is yours.
I'll say something at the end.
Oh, okay. For the audience, I really want to thank you for, you know, supporting this channel. I really appreciate you liking, subscribing, and being part of this conversation. Again, as I say on every episode, I don't have a marketing budget for this. I don't have anybody behind it other than me. I do the recording, I do the editing, I do the writing, I do the editing of the content, all of it. And that's how I spend my weekend, is editing videos for the podcast. And nobody pays me for this. I just do it out of crazy passion for this industry, that I feel like there are so many voices in this industry, I need to give them a platform. Because I feel like the more we speak about this industry, the more we're educating. And proof of point, that most of the individuals or most of the engagements I get on this podcast is from outside the industry, meaning that we're trying to educate the world to become part of the industry, to engage with the industry. And that's the entire purpose of this Localization Fireside Chat podcast. Last word, Rishi. Last word.
Yeah. Holesh and I definitely want to invite you to Berlin and drink real coffee and have some more real chats.
I would love to do that. I've been to Berlin once, passing by, had a couple of meetings back in the airport, but I would love to spend some time with you folks in Berlin. It'd be an honor of me to do that. And thank you so much for the invite. I appreciate it. If you're also in Canada, I would love to do the same. Sit down with you guys for a coffee one-on-one. I'd love to spend time with you face-to-face. For the audience, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Until the next time. Please like, share, engage with the content. I do this for you, and hopefully it's worthwhile for everybody. Thanks.